good evening. Anika Sameach, Rosh Chodesh Tov.
Yes, thank you.
Are you the only one on?
Yes.
Okay. But we'll be starting.
Okay.
So please join me in saying the Ana Bekoa.
All right, I'm going to mute.
Gedula Chimincha Tati Terura Alephet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Abel Rinat Amcha Tzad Benu Aharinu Kufrei Shayan, Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Tevet, the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the Ayin that created the constellation Gedi, the astrological sign of Capricorn. Together, the Ayin and the Bet have a gematria of 72, which we know connects us to the Sephirah of Chachma, of wisdom. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehuka Kibbavad Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sitkatha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Saritaf Gimel Kasin Kadosh Berov Tucha Na'el Adatecha Het Kuf Bet Het Nunayan Yachid Geah Lam ha pene zokre kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Kuf Shavateinu kabel Ushma tziyatateinu Yodea ta'alumo Shin Kuf Vav Sadi Yud Tav. Because it's Rosh Chodesh, we're just going to do a little bit of a connection to Hashem's name. Wahey, oh, hey. Wahey, oh, hey. Wahey, oh, hey. Wahey, oh, hey. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into our space, we're going to use the 13 attributes of wisdom, of mercy, to separate between the positive and the negative aspects of that creation, between the right column energy and the left column energy.
Adonai Waheyohe Adonai Waheyohei El Rahum Dechanun Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed Be'emeh Notze Chesed La'alafim Notze Wawon Vafesha V'Chata'av B'Nakei
I'm not going to take the time to read the verses that we know we should read, but we're going to say the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa, which we do in a whisper. And I will say that out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto, Be'olam Va'ed. And now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar and start that with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkim Tei Bichilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'achta Hashem Yudhei Bevavhei V'yichudah Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Konenehu. We're reading verse 2:11, section 48 of the Parsha of Noah. V'ayimach et kol ha'yakum Asher al pnei ha'adama. Rabbi Abba Amar Se'ach la'ala Kol yinun Shalitin Se'shaltin Limanan Al Arav Dahu Haikum Asher Al Pene Adama Deka David Kutsha Barichu Dina Bivne Alma A'avar Le'inun Shalitin Simanan Alayhu Bekad Meta Uvatar Le'inun Diyatve Sechot Gav Gad Paihu Diktiv Yichot Hashem Maltzva Hamarom Hamarom Uvata Al Malke Ha'adama Al Ha'adama. And he destroyed every living substance that was upon the face of the ground. Rabbi Abba said that the verse indicates that the ministers who rule and govern upon the earth, namely the angels who govern the peoples of the world, were also destroyed. This is the meaning of every living substance which was upon the face of the ground. For when the Holy One, blessed be He, executes His judgment and punishes the people of the earth, He starts with the supernal ministers who rule them, and after they are destroyed, continues with the people who abided beneath the shelter of their wings. As it is written, Hashem will punish the host of the heavens on high, and then the kings of the earth upon the earth. Does anyone have any questions? On the conference call, are you able to hear me?
Yeah, but it's not too good. But that's
okay.
My problem, I think.
No, it's really not. It's the phone that I'm using, the problem.
Uh-huh.
But I just want to make sure you're able to hear me. I know the recording comes through, so.
Mm-hmm. It's very clear.
Are there any questions about the Zohar verse before we start?
I missed what the verse was. I know it was Noah, but I didn't get the number.
2:11, section 28.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So the class is starting. If you go to, I believe it's row 11 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left. That'll open up to the classes on advanced reincarnation. And that if you scroll down to class 6B, the second 6B, which says that we're starting at section 2, it's chapter 2, section 7. And the subject is the Yibum. And we'll finish that relatively before the class ends, and then we'll go to section 6C, so that you're aware of what we're going to be doing.
Oh, is there a reason why you're skipping? Because we stopped.
Am I skipping?
We stopped. Chapter 3, section 3. I have stopped here on 12/22/16, which was a week ago. We had already done Eboob.
Okay, so that's my mistake. So we're starting at chapter 3, section 3, which will be at the link is on 6C, but and then you'll have to scroll down to section 3. So I will do that, and that's where we will start.
Link is on what?
I'm going to have to mute. I have a phone
call. Easily, so you have, if I don't hear you, you have to speak louder so that I will be able to hear you.
Link was on section what?
I'm scrolling down to section 3. Or chapter 3, section 3. Additional blemishes is where we are starting. Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam, committed their own sin in addition to that of their father and their mother, and thus caused their sparks to become more deeply immersed in the Klipot. Cain murdered Abel, and according to the Midrash, Abel had previously looked at the divine presence as it descended to consume his sacrifice on the altar. Gazing such at the divine presence was deemed a grave sin and warranted for Abel the penalty of death. Thus, they caused further damage and blemish to the soul sparks from the soul of Adam that were originally damaged by the sin of the first man. My commentary, which is also part of the questions and answers from last night, so you, if you have any questions on this, you might listen to the questions and answers recording. In Kabbalah, a person does not die until the nightly court approves his leaving and sets the time to leave. Abel was approved for leaving the world for many reasons. The one cited above from the Midrash is only one idea. Another is that Abel was too involved with the physical and lost sight of his spiritual work. This also comes from the word, the phrase, and the verse in the Torah that teaches that Abel also brought a sacrifice. Also, this implied it is as an afterthought, not truly important to bring his sacrifice. For someone on the spiritual level of the Son of Adam, this would be a grievous mistake. However, in each generation, some of the sparks reincarnate into the world to become rectified. That is good news. All do not end up like Cain and Abel. There is tikkun. There is the ability to do correction. And there is the ability to do teshuvah. My commentary. This commentary by the translator does not make sense. How did Cain and Abel end up? There is always tikkun. Since Hashem is merciful, there is always tikkun and teshuvah. Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam, increased the damage and blemish of the soul sparks. The level of the quarry of the souls of a particular generation can be either that of the sparks of the head or the eyes or other parts of the body. The quarry, as in a rock quarry, is placed in the soul structure of Adam from which the soul sparks derive. This varies by the generation. It is like a spiritual quarry from which the sparks of the souls of a particular generation are hewn. Some of these sparks reincarnate and become rectified, but some of them reincarnate, become more blemished because of sin, and fall deeper into the Klipot, like the souls of Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam. My commentary. This helps us to understand Rabbi Teicher's comment above that I already commented upon, but still it is incomplete, since even when we fall deeper into the Klipot, we still have the potential to produce a tikkun, a correction. Remember, in spirituality, we go down in order to go higher. A truly amazing spiritual law. That's the end of section 3. Does anybody have any questions? Chapter 3, section 4. Halfway, he bore from birth. Some reincarnate to become rectified, but they are not entirely careful in sin. Such as first again in the Klipot, with all the minor sparks that derive from it that depend upon it. There are major sparks and minor sparks. The major sparks are composed of many minor sparks. They may reincarnate together in one Gilgul, but they may separate into many Gilgulim. My commentary. There needs to be much more discussion about this idea of major sparks and minor sparks, and how a major spark's mistake causes the minor sparks to fall with him. Just as Adam causes all of humanity to fall. This is due to Adam being the major spark, and every human being since then being a minor spark. Everything is always relative. Sparks of light is a difficult idea to define and understand. Do you have any questions at this point? What are we are considering here is an intermediate case that includes both Gilgul and Ibur. And to remind you, Gilgul is reincarnation. It happens at birth. A reincarnation of Gilgulim cannot leave the body till the body dies. An Ibur is a pregnancy. It's a soul that comes and attaches itself to the Gilgulim until the Gilgul of that body, but it leaves when its work with that body and that soul is completed. It is not does not have to wait to the end of the life when the body dies. The Arizal is now going to describe the intermediate case of an Ibur from birth, meaning a soul that does not have to stay but comes at birth, which is in some respects like an Ibur, and in some respects like a Gilgul. There are parts of souls that reincarnate and come to a person when he is born, as is the case of in Gilgul. However, they have already been rectified, as in Ibur. And like Ibur, they can reap reward from mitzvot that are done in this person's lifetime, but do not suffer guilt from sins that may be committed. Thus, they are an intermediate category. The reason for this phenomena, that there are two types of blemishes resulting from sin. As a consequence of serious sin, which will be explained later on, the soul sparks are severely blemished. They undergo Gilgul. However, the result of less serious sin is a less serious blemish and does not necessitate reincarnation, Gilgulim. But it still has to be corrected. So they may come into the body at birth, go through certain processes which correct the minor sins that they did, and then they leave. Or they may come into the body at birth, go through learning about mitzvot and doing mitzvot in that body with that soul. And as they learn this and as they do this, they receive greater merit, which allows them to move to a higher level of consciousness in the world that is coming, which that higher level of consciousness is actually where they started in the endless world. So I hope I've confused you greatly.
Yes, you did.
Soul may reincarnate, achieve extensive rectification, but nevertheless remain somewhat blemished because of some light sins that were committed during the Gilgul. These parts of the soul that are for the most part, but not completely rectified, will reincarnate again at the time of birth and remain with the person until the end of his lifetime, as in Gilgul, in reincarnation. However, in this case, they will reap rewards for the mitzvot, but will not suffer guilt or chaos from the sins that they may, that the Gilgul may commit. And it is these parts of the soul, those which are less seriously blemished, that constitutes the intermediate category called Ibur from birth. The sparks of the Nefesh do not separate from one another until the day of death. All the sparks of the Nefesh, even those that are already rectified, return in a complete Gilgul at the time of birth, with the individual spark that was damaged. They do not separate from one another until the day of death. All the sparks of Nefesh, both those that have been almost completely rectified, retaining only a light blemish due to a light sin, and those that have been only slightly rectified, they return at the time of birth with those soul sparks that have been severely damaged and will require extensive tikkun in this lifetime. Since they arrive at the time of birth, they are all similar to a complete Gilgul. However, the rectified sparks reincarnate as an Ibur. In other words, the above-mentioned almost completely rectified sparks reincarnate as an Ibur from birth. The reason it is called Ibur is as follows. They do not share the sins of this body, only the merits. It is similar to the souls of righteous tzaddikim who have died and come as an Ibur during a person's lifetime and not at birth. Even though the almost completely rectified sparks have to return with the damaged ones, they only benefit from the reincarnation. Thus, a spark that has not been rectified whatsoever by the performance of those mitzvot to which it is related or has not been rectified as a result of transgressing those sins from which there is no revival, they must reincarnate into a second body which will be named for that spark. That spark's name is the essence of the Gilgul that is happening. Like the name of any given thing describes the essence of that thing. The Gilgul reincarnates into a body for the sake of the tikkun of those soul sparks that have been severely damaged or not rectified at all. Therefore, that particular birth will be called by the name of those sparks that must undergo extensive my commentary. When a person passes, they are asked, "What is your name?" This name that is being asked is the spark's name, not the name used by the person in this world. This spark's name must be discovered in the process of soul growth and tikkun. How to do this is covered in the tikkun information available for each individual and for which we are hoping to automate the system when we have sufficient donations to pay for that. However, sparks that have achieved rectification through the performance of mitzvot but have also been blemished through the transgression of light sins only reincarnate as an ibur of the sort mentioned previously, ibur from birth, even though it is also a gilgul. They are an ibur that must come back at birth, but they are not the main soul of the body in which they find themselves. It is because they are not the main soul of the body that they are an ibur. They are a gilgul because they come at the time of birth. In contrast, there are sparks that have not been blemished through sins after having been rectified by mitzvot. These sparks have been fully rectified and are not blemished whatsoever. They do not return at all except as an ibur during lifetime, after birth, and then only if he merits it, as has been explained. That is the end of section 4. Are there any questions?
I hear you recommend that word.
Didn't quite understand that.
Yes. Forming a mitzvah properly. Or the ibur needs to do that mitzvah to correct because it's that ibur is a nefesh or a ruach or a neshama that made a minor sin, so it comes as an ibur to participate in doing that mitzvah again properly, to correct the minor sin. Whereas the Gilgul comes to do that mitzvah properly to correct the major sin. Question. You're confused.
I have a question when you have time.
Well, there is a house party because we haven't told you how many sparks there are potentially. Remember, there are 613 parts of the body, 248 parts of the body, and 365 ligaments, for lack of a better terminology. Now, each of those parts can have 600,000 major sparks, and I forget the amount of minor sparks. I think something like 360,000.
So I'm getting the idea. It's a house party.
It's a house party. And then, on the level of Gilgul and Ibur,
right,
in each part of the body, there can be four different identities.
Right.
Each of those identities have 600,000 sparks. So it gets to be a very large house party.
Well, yes.
And always remember, the important thing to remember is the name that people choose to be called, whether it's as given to them by their parents or as they grow and as they mature and as they become spiritually different, because you go to sleep and a spark has corrected itself, so it leaves. A part of the nefesh corrects itself, so it leaves, and another one comes in. And as these changes take place, that name that you were called at birth changes, because it's no longer a metaphorical reflection of your soul. And the confusing part is that in the grave, when the person dies, the question is asked of each of the sparks, what is your name? And each of the sparks has to answer, my name is this. And that's where people get very confused. And that's why the Sephardim teach, in order to remember your name, your true soul name, you need to have a verse from the Tanakh, and every one of those letters is going to relate to the sparks. And that's why it's the only place I know where you can get all of the verses that relate to your name in one place is on the Yeshem website, in what's called the name form, which is the link underneath the two pictures on the right of every web page.
We are a big puzzle.
We are a big puzzle.
Well, actually, I mean, hearing this makes perfectly good sense. It really does make very good sense.
Would you think that Hashem wouldn't have created a system that doesn't make sense?
Well, it's easy to...
But it's easy to generalize.
Things that you don't understand and just say they don't make sense. But this makes it much easier to understand.
It does. That's why we study it. Exactly.
God wants us to be a perfect specimen. But that cannot happen to everybody.
God does not want us to be a perfect specimen. God puts us in this world as being and says, learn to become divine. Divine does not mean perfect. Only God is perfect. But he created angels. They're higher spiritually than human beings. But when the human being corrects itself and becomes divine, it becomes higher than the angel.
Higher than the angel?
Higher than the angel. That is the goal. That's the process. And we have 7,000 years in this cycle, and then there are 5 more cycles. So 7,000 years. But there are some Kabbalists who say, no, you no longer have to go through the 5 additional cycles because Moses took the Seer of Rav out of Egypt with him. And so by doing that, it lengthened this cycle, but it does not, it shortened the overall cycle because we don't have to go through those 5. But we don't know which is correct.
We're weighted down by the Arab.
We're always weighted down by the Arab Rav. And the real issue with respect to understanding, the Arab Rav means souls or soul sparks, that this is their first time out of out of the klipot.
I have a brother.
Okay.
Art.
But it we are weighted down by it, but ultimately,
like a rock.
But ultimately, all of those human beings, the Arab Rav, the other nations, all of them will become children of Israel. And that process is difficult because we have many Orthodox people, we have many non-Orthodox people saying being Jewish is so special that we can't, we have to keep separate from the others because they pull us down. They corrupt us. And that is how people have to resolve for themselves.
Is with when they are exposed to a good deal of suffering, much of contempt, a lot of fun, the humor, and loud music. He did not drive hard.
I have another question. We're going to. By the time we become fine, is it really there is a Gnadim?
There's only a Gnadim to hold the soul and the soul part that actually exists. And that is the location that they are with all of the rest of the souls and soul sparks to catch up to that level.
It take millions of years.
No, it will only take 49,000 years.
Is that for the 70 nations?
The 70 nations is included in that whole process.
Well, whatever, there's so many pictures.
So many different Jews are the 12 tribes.
Right.
So there's 12 different groups of children of Israel.
Right.
Okay. But there are 70 nations. And those souls and soul sparks.
So my soul going to be wandering for 49,000 years before it comes divine. And then maybe I will go to the Gnadim.
No, you're going to be able to complete it this lifetime. Because of the experience that you had in the camps, you have cleansed much of those mistakes, and you won't have to come back. No one knows. No one knows. But learning about it helps you find the answer for yourself. Because no one can tell you, oh, you're going to not come back, or you're going to come back, you have to correct this. The only thing that you really have to realize is that all it takes to animate a body when the resurrection of the dead takes place, all it takes to animate that body is one soul spark. That's all. If that's all that you corrected in that lifetime, that body will be resurrected and that spark will exist in that body.
Resurrected.
It means that the person who died in the grave will come out of the grave.
Uh-huh.
And he will look exactly like he went into the grave for about a minute, and then he will become 25 years old.
Why 25?
What do you want to be, 40? You want to be 18? What do you want to be?
No, I want to be, well, that's a physical thing.
It's an indication. We say 25 or 26. We say that. I'm sorry?
What did I know?
Oh, you will know it. but your body will be physically at 25 or 26.
For how long?
For 1,000 years.
How long?
And that's why everybody laughs, as he just did. That's why everybody says, oh, this can never happen. But do you trust that? Then why would you say it couldn't happen? But that's exactly what goes on in people. They've been taught in the Western world, we have been taught in the Western world, to think logically. Logically, it doesn't make sense. It's overwhelming. It cannot happen, God forbid. But if you trust Hashem, nothing is impossible.
Is that true? What the man from Magic went out and talked about resurrection?
Yes. That's built into the Old Testament.
Yes.
So he was speaking about
the
it.
Old
as, so he's going to be 25.
For 1,000 years.
When you got 25, look me up.
I didn't know anything.
But you will know everything. But and have the body of the youth that can do everything, as opposed to the bodies of the
youth. I can take care of Jordan as much. It's like I do.
Right? You will. On the conference call, any questions? Because I wasn't sure. I'm going to assume no. So we will read one more section.
I have a question, but I was muted. Do you have time?
Completion of chapter 3, section 5. Thus, we have learned from the previous section is as follows. The main part of the Gilgul associated with the body is specifically that part which was damaged. The other parts of the soul previously rectified in other incarnations only return as aspects of Ibur. When the part which is associated with the body performs a mitzvah in this world, the other parts share a portion of the mitzvah, since they have assisted in the performance of that mitzvah. As explained earlier, concerning the soul of a righteous tzaddik that comes as an ibur, since they only come to assist for the sake of good, they do not share the punishments, the chaos, when the main nefesh transgresses. When a person reincarnates, the entire nefesh returns. However, the essence of the Gilgul is only the part that sinned in a previous body and returns to become rectified. It is associated with the body, and reward and punishment are applicable to it. However, the rest of the nefesh takes part in the reward, but not in the punishment. Now, the nefesh in its entirety suffers and receives punishments in the existing body besides what was suffered by the sparks in the previous bodies. And it will suffer as well the pain of death and the pain of what comes after death. Consequently, there is atonement for the earlier light sins. Moreover, though through the mitzvot of previous Gilgulim and the present one in which they have a portion, as we have said, the tikkun of the nefesh becomes complete. In this respect, the comparison between the mostly rectified parts of the soul that comes as an ibur from birth and the soul of a righteous tzaddik that comes as a normal ibur ceases. For a soul of a righteous tzaddik, the ibur is not meant to act as a cleansing process. It just increases its own merit by the ibur, and it assists the person in which the ibur is occurring. However, by the case of the ibur from birth, the mostly rectified parts of the soul need the ibur to complete their atonement and tikkun. However, if they had a portion in the present sins as well, there could never be tikkun for the nefesh. A person usually sins, and this would only add sin to sin, and there would be no end to it. If the mostly rectified sparks had a portion in the sins of the non-rectified sparks, then it would hamper progression towards tikkun and completion. Because previous tikkunim would be canceled out by future sins of other sparks. Through reincarnation comes completion for all, the sparks from the head of the nefesh to its feet. However, since the rest of the nefesh does not share responsibility in the evil of this spark, only in its merits, sins can be atoned for and not increased. New merits can be added through each Gilgul. There can be a conclusion to the cycle of reincarnation and tikkun for the nefesh. Understand this well. In this way, the nefesh achieves completion in all its sparks through reincarnation. Completion is achieved for all the sparks from the head of the nefesh to its feet. This refers to the beginning of the discourse in section 2. The sparks of the nefesh from the head up to the feet are the sparks of the soul body of Adam HaRishon. Each generation is destined to rectify the selection of sparks associated with it until the tikkun of the whole is completed. Once the feet are reached, then Mashiach will come, as it says in the Zohar. In the age of Mashiach, there will be no more need for Gilgulim. Mankind will be fully rectified and will have merited the appearance of the greatest soul of all, the soul of Mashiach, the Keter of human souls. My commentary. This technique of Ibur from birth is what allows the Nefesh to remain unified, which allows it to protect itself from the scourges of the negative actions that people do. This generation is referred to as the left heel of Adam. Our generation. Our generation, which is everybody living today. We are referred to as the left heel of Adam. But within that left heel, you have a head, you have a body, you have a right arm, a left arm, a right leg, a left leg, sex parts. So it's explaining so many things about what has to take place and what tikkuns are and how to find my tikkun.
Oh, we are wonderful higher.
Yes.
You understood? Well, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm Orthodox. All my family was Orthodox.
Yes.
We eat kosher.
Yes.
We went to the Orthodox. Why in the hell that the rabbi don't make a mitzvah? And explain why are they looking for money, skill?
I will tell you exactly what the Zohar says. In case on the conference call you couldn't hear the question. The question is, people who are Orthodox or people who are Reform or people who are conservative, different groups of Jews which relate different tribes. The rabbis do not explain what I have just taught you.
That's right.
And I am not a rabbi, so how can I know this and they don't? And maybe they know it, but they don't explain it. Why? That's your question, correct? The answer the Zohar gives. The Zohar teaches us in our generation, which is the last generation, the left heel of Adam, in this generation, the leaders of the community, the rabbis, the root of their soul is Erev Rav. And the root of their soul is to create separation. So they may know it, they may not know it. They teach what they teach. But it's also why in this generation we have been allowed, we have the merit to see the Zohar spread from person to person so that we can avoid having to be limited by that leader. What is religion? Now, I'm going to say something that is going to upset you, so I'm warning you. What is religion? God gave us the Torah. That's not religion. What's religion is a man came along and said, God gave us the Torah, and now I'm telling you that what the Torah means is XYZ. That man is a religion. Follow me. Because I know what the Torah says and you don't. Whereas the Torah was given to every human being. But the rabbis said, I know this is what it means. You're not educated. You don't know. So come listen to me and I'll teach you. But he taught us with an agenda, his understanding. That's not true of all of the sages. The sages told us truth. But where in the truth? Where is the truth? If you go into the Talmud, which is a conglomeration of all of the teachings, you will find 60 rabbis said this, and 90 said that. And we don't know which is correct. This and this are the words of the living God, is the phrase. You have to decide for yourself. And in this generation, and you hear about it, you study it. In 1990, Kabbalist Rob Berg from the Kabbalah Center, the Chabad Rebbe, Baba Salih, I can name 15 rabbis who are identified as righteous people who lived in the 90s, and they all died. Who replaced them? The rabbis that replaced them, what do they teach in Israel? And I'm not criticizing, I'm explaining. They teach in Israel the following. Come and study Torah all day long in a yeshiva. The girls should go to the Beth Jacob schools, and neither of them should learn a trade to support themselves when they have their own families. That's what is being taught by many Orthodox rabbis in Israel. Not all, but many. And these are the people who replaced the Baba Sali, the Chabad Rebbe, the Satmar Rebbe, and on and on and on.
What is that creating?
It's creating a society of poor people.
Yes.
It's creating a society that depends on other people to support them.
I have a question.
Please.
I don't know if you want to be able to answer. It's deep.
Baruch Hashem.
I told you that I have been the light of God.
Yes. I know that.
I have been told that I have a job.
Correct.
I have seen an angel.
Yes.
It's deep. I don't know what my job is. It's mystifying me. I don't know. My learning was stopped.
When you went into the camps. Yes.
I told you, I'm thinking now about Mitzvah.
Baruch Hashem.
And I couldn't do it then. I don't know what. I don't know.
And if you ask anybody at this table and anybody in the world, what is your spiritual work to do in this world? They don't know.
I don't know. I believe in God.
What is your Hebrew name?
Hmm?
What is your Hebrew name?
Label.
That's your Yiddish name. Label? Okay. Lamed. Bet. Lamed, correct? Total. Gematria is 62. When we add the kolel, it becomes 63. 63 is the gematria of Hashem's name in the Sefirah of Bina, understanding. What is your work? To understand Hashem's word. That's just one task you've been given. You may have other tasks. We would need to look through various iterations of your name. Your name is what in English? In English, yes.
Leon.
What do you ask people to call you? You don't ask people to call you Label. You ask them to call you Leon. Lamed. Ayin, or Aleph, I'm not sure, I'd have to look it up. Nun Sofi. Lamed is 30, Ayin is 70, is 100. Nun Sofi is 50. 150 with the Kolel is 151 is Mikveh. A Mikveh is connected to Bina, but it's a cleansing aspect of Bina. Your cleansing was the camps. Horrible as it sounds and difficult to accept. But this is how people must learn to look at their names.
Very complicated. I hope I don't go mishugah.
Baruch Hashem, we will make sure you don't go mishugah. We just have to raise the funds. We have to raise the funds to automate what I just did for you. Because there's more. There's different levels. But just those two levels, you have a set. You see what took place.
Yeah.
You've gone through the cleansing. Now it's time to do the understanding.
And hello. A
very strong soul, truly. How did I introduce him to you? I introduce you as a hero. You to him, as this is a hero. And he is a hero. The goat, a hero. You went through the camps, you came out of the camps, and you got married again, as difficult as that was, to restart a family. And yes, there's other issues with that, and we're not going to go into it now. But it's all, you're a hero.
Yeah,
no, can you hear me?
Does anybody have any questions?
Can you hear me?
Conference call, do you have any questions? If not, go ahead. Anna, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, I'm looking at, you said Lamed Bet Lamed.
Yes. You're looking up the meaning of the word? I'm not sure. I'm not hearing you now. So I'll speak to you at the Rosh Chodesh connection at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m.
Okay, I got disconnected. Yes. I'm not sure I heard correctly, but I thought I heard you say Lamed Bet Lamed as spelling
correct.
His name. And isn't Lamed Bet heart?
Yes, Lamed Bet is heart. And
okay.
Lamed means to teach the heart.
Right. So that would give him also an aspect of what's maybe another step on.
That's another aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Leon, you couldn't hear. Lamed Bet Lamed, one of the other students who's listening. Lamed Bet Lamed. Lamed Bet is Lev, is heart. Lamed is a teaching, a teacher. This lifetime, you are to teach the heart, teach your heart, to soften to your heart, not to have the hardened heart. It's an aspect. It's not easy to do. How do you go through the camps and not have that? And I understand. But this is, you want to know what you're here to do. We're giving you information.
I think another thing is 63 is the same value of Hana. And I learned that that was the same gematria as the Tetragrammaton spelled out.
Yes, spelled out at the level of Bina.
Mm-hmm.
But Hana, you're right. Another iteration is to substitute label for Hana because the gematrias are 63 are the same. And Hana means hidden wisdom, Chachma Nestar, in the physical world of the hay. So all of this, it's all pointing and hinting to the same issues. First you cleanse, and then you understand. First you cleanse, then you can teach your heart. And I said to you, you came to this building to meet me so I could help you. Not that I know anything. Not that I'm so special. But because I'm available, Hashem has sent me. When the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Will come. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Hana.
Thank you.
We'll speak later tonight at the conference call, at the Rosh Chodesh connection.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, what is it?